Dwayne Finnegan was aware, as he took a breath, that this was the moment that could make or break him. He found that prospect deeply exciting. "What makes sex better?" he said, an intimation of pleasure in his voice. "What makes food better? What propels dancers irresistibly across the floor in one another's arms?" He raised his dark eyebrows and grinned his lopsided grin. "The same thing that will put this production over the top," he whispered. Brad Cunningham, the man who could transform his life, leaned towards him and began to grin back. It was working. Dwayne wound into the final details of his pitch. All his talents as an actor, as a director, as a student of Shakespeare flowed into this. He would triumph. "What would take Titus Andronicus," he said pointedly, "Shakespeare's most violent, least favorite play, and turn it into an event that no one in the city of Chicago will be able to resist?" He let the question hang in the air, then stood up and raised his arms. "Imagine if we could resurrect Jimi Hendrix and put him on a platform at the top of the set overlooking the action, playing his iconic electric acid blues to drive the choreographed swordplay, to propel the throat-cutting, to punctuate the beheading, and to agitate and exacerbate the sexual violence that fills this play, we would have a Titus Andronicus like no one has ever imagined. Electrifying, visceral, tribal drums, Hendrix guitars, propulsive music, kick-ass performances, a production that no one will ever forget." Dwayne's heart raced with the excitement. "And it's driven by music originated by the greatest guitarist the world has ever known." He clapped his hand on the tabletop and slid back into the booth next to Tom, his choreographer and co-conspirator. What did Brad think? Brad also leaned back across from them and dropped into deep thought, looking like a sphinx as he so often did. Dwayne waited. The silence carried on until Dwayne forgot to breathe. So much depended on this. Dwayne's life depended on this. "Be cool. Just be cool." "I like it," Brad said at last, sitting up again in the window booth at the Elephant and Castle pub. A train rattled by on the elevated tracks out in front of the restaurant. An automobile honked, and a police siren sang in the distance. "I like the whole concept." "And Fox?" Dwayne asked. That was the most important question. "What about Fox?"
"This is something I could take to Fox."
Brad's words surged into Dwayne's soul. He had to control his urge to shout out a hallelujah. Tom vibrated with joy next to him. Brad, of course, still looked cool. He brushed a piece of lint from his suit jacket and adjusted the collar of his black silk shirt, gazing out at the corner of Wabash and Lake. Cars and pedestrians flowed past on the other side of the glass.
"You know what Fox's Emerging Directors Program did for me," Brad said.
Yes, Dwayne knew, and that's what he wanted for himself. Brad had gone from a nobody to a high-profile director. Of course, Dwayne also knew how much of Brad's success came from sucking up other people's ideas and talent.
"From the public theater to Broadway to a Tony nomination," Tom interjected, practically singing.
Brad gave a dry chuckle, then frowned and cleared his throat.
"See, here's the thing. This would be the first time I recommend somebody to Fox. So it's important that it go well. Otherwise, my stock with him falls. And that cost me."
Dwayne felt his stomach clench.
"What do you mean?"
His pitch had gone so well, he'd really sold him. But now what?
"You know how it works," Brad said. "The Tony nomination put a feather in my cap. When I didn't win, it took it back out. So if you shine," Brad said, leaning in towards Dwayne, "it reflects well on me. But if you don't, the next time I suggest something to Fox, it's tainted. I'd like to help you, but what happens if your little show sucks? If you do badly, maybe later Fox will turn me down for something I want. Then I'm screwed because you failed."